This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Lynn Mark and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where today I have with me Tan Sri Rais Yatim, who has held the portfolios of Foreign Affairs and Communications Minister and now is Negeri Sembilan Estate Chairman for Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Tan Sri.
Welcome. Thank you so much for inviting us.
So you joined Bersatu in June of 2018, and there were some who saw this as something of an opportunistic move, especially since you'd been vocally supportive of BN before then. So tell us, why did you decide to join Pakatan Harapan?
Primarily, it is to ascertain what I thought was to be a composite change in the system of treating government. I was with BN UMNO since childhood, actually, apart from the 8 years I was in Semangat 46, i.e. 1987 to 1995-96. Whatever they want to say, whether it is opportunistic or not, truly, when I did the switch, it was a lot to do with the discussions we had with Tun Dr. Mahathir, who was bent on putting in a new focus on the struggle, how to govern Malaysia. So I was interested. And I was with the Najib government, and I was also with the other five prime ministers before that. And in totality, I think I have served the nation for upwards of 45 years. So I thought, why not? There's nothing wrong with going on with a master or with one who has been in the fold for so long, like Tun Dr. Mahathir. That was the feeling that there was not much of an analysis. But many people forgot. I was fired from UMNO for asking Joe Low to be brought back to the country. Tengku Adnan, the sec-gen of UMNO, thought that I was too loud for the party at that time. That was April 2017-18, and there you are.
But then since coming into Pakatan Harapan and since coming into power, so since June of 2018, PH has undergone significant changes in its direction. So what do you what is your take on that change since GE?
The directional change is a very nice word you use there, but actually, I think they have charted a new scope of doing things. I had always reminded the intermediate leaders that what they promised in May 2018 should be, as far as possible, be owned up, be rationalized and be debated. If you don't want to do away with all the toll, for example, what do you do? How many could you do? And if you say, oh, it's not possible, then we look at the Khazanah's holding of the toll companies. Now, if it is a fact that the toll companies are owned in the major form by the government, of course we can do something about it. It is not just enough to say that, oh, it's going to cost us too much, so we are not going to do anything about it. But you promised. But I must compliment Tun and the rest of the gang for having implemented what I can see to be a very substantive approach in the rule of law game. But we have not focused much on the petty crimes like bag snatching, like the occurrences at the malls and the roadside crimes and the along. Things like that, I think, are very important and must be focused based on our rule of law, gamut. The other part is we have to compliment also the government of the day. For 1 year, 6 months almost now, I think they have stabilized a certain amount of confidence. But the majority of the promises made in May 2018 are still to be analysed, especially in terms of the PTPTN, in terms of the cost of living, the rising cost of living, and the other rationality pertaining to the Felda well-being, the settlers. I believe if we could go into these in a new objective foray, I believe we could arrive at a deeper and more secure step for the next general election.
And now, Tan Sri, you raised the spectre of confidence and the confidence of the people in the Pakatan Harapan administration. Since coming into power, there does seem to have been a shift in terms of trying to win back the Malay vote that it was perceived that Pakatan had lost. And there has also been some research more recently to suggest that Pakatan has not managed to do that. So in your view, has Pakatan lost the support of the Malay demographic? And if so, what can they do to win that back?
The early indications are now, I tend to agree with a lot who says that Pakatan has lost a bit of its original gleam now.
The shine started to wear off.
The shine and whatever you want to say in terms of the overall confidence of the people. That is to say, according to a few sporadic research bases that they have done in Kuala Lumpur, the regard for confidence and the expectation for confidence has somewhat shallowed a little bit. Maybe this is because of the confusion created recently via the amalgamation of PAS and UMNO, and also the throwing back of issues like Zakir, Naik, as well as the issues pertaining to the price of petrol and a few other things. But to say it pivotally that Pakatan has lost altogether, maybe it's too early. I wouldn't agree. After having done 1.5 years, I think they have just about passed the limit. But the pivotal issues have not been realigned for discussion and for the transmission of doing it on the ground.
That's right. When you say past the limit, what do you mean by that exactly?
Meaning, I believe that they have performed 50%. But I would like to say this, even though I say that it is 50%, I being representing the Negeri Sembilan Bersatu and being a member of the Supreme Council, naturally I would like to say this, but many of my colleagues are not of the same view. I'm not throwing anything back at them, but I would like just to say, after 1.5 years, we have done a 50% job. That's what I feel. For the remaining 3.5, I believe we should be doing better. But we must focus on the issues pertaining to the makan nasi and makan hari-hari issues. That, I think, we have to do a lot more homework. And the requisite information for the people, like what we used to do, we are not doing anymore. And therefore, we have to revamp that as well. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, the ringgit's performance economically, how much goes into the pocket of settlers, the orang kampung, and what they used to have via the gifts of the previous governments must be relooked.
Now, Tan Sri, just a last question before we break for a few messages. What do you make of the allegations that the decision to accept more former UMNO members like yourself into Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia, that this has led to Bersatu becoming almost an UMNO 2.0 and that we may be opening the door to the same sort of problems that we saw within UMNO cropping up within the last 5 years?
Very interesting, isn't it? I am of the belief and the conviction, whoever wants to join Bersatu, they must undergo what I call a process of change. If you are just going to be in another party but not doing the revamp work, then it's no point. You may have the voices, but the following issues and the value system in the old UMNO will start to regrow itself. So the amoeba could be spreading a lot of heads after this. To say that we should not accept those from UMNO is not fair, because they find Bersatu to be something like a nostalgic entry for them. Oh, let's come in. But the retraining must be done. We haven't got that yet. And simply to say, come here, it is not enough, I believe. And beyond that, the better question would be, will the party be as strong when Tun Dr. Mahathir is no longer in the seat? Now, that nobody dares to say it for now. For now, we just say, with Tun there, let's join Bersatu. And I believe a little bit of exodus is going to happen in the not-too-distant future. I do hope the retraining and the revamp of the values should start.
I'm speaking with Tan Sri Rais Yatim, Supreme Council Member and Negeri Sembilan State Chief for Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia. After this, a look into succession plans, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Tan Sri Rais Yatim, Negeri Sembilan State Chairman and Supreme Council Member for Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia. Now, Tan Sri, before this, we touched on the issue of succession within Pakatan Harapan. And I guess that is the big question on everyone's mind at the moment. Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim has said recently to Bloomberg TV that he expects to take over as Prime Minister by 2020. Is this something you see reflected in the succession planning within Pakatan Harapan?
Yes, I do. The reason being, Tun Dr. Mahathir has been mentioning about the succession plan overtly and in the knowledge of most Malaysians, I think, that he would hand over the baton to Datuk Sri Anwar when the time comes. Mm-hmm. Truly, one missing thing is the date. We do not know the date. And that guessing game amongst Malaysian politicians remains verdant. And everybody is asking at every sip of coffee and tea. Now, having said that, it is difficult, I think, to visualize a succession plan without Anwar Ibrahim, without Dato' Sri Azmin, and without one or two other names. But these two, I think, would be in the forefront of consideration. Slightly more for Dato' Sri Anwar, who has, I think, galvanized sufficient support and the aura to be the Prime Minister, if I may use the word. The problem would be then, how convincing that situation be to the other sister coalitions, to the AP, to Amanah, to Bersatu at large. There has to be, I think, a consensus at the presidential council level. But that is one thing. The other thing is the people's choice. Now, the people have not really expressed their a specific or categoric choice of Dato' Sri Anwar in so many words. They just take it as a rhetoric value. Mm-hmm. That could be, I think, a little problem later on. But as far as I see, that could become a reality if Tun Dr. Mahathir does not waver too much in terms of the timing as well as the personality involved.
So do you think that either Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim or Dato' Sri Azmin Ali or perhaps someone else, do you think that they would be able to win the people's confidence and their vote come GE15 if things continue as they are?
That question, I would like to link it with the manifesto of PH. Hmm. If the manifesto of PH is laid out on the table and if Anwar Ibrahim were to determine the cost of living, this is my approach, the petrol price, the schooling system, the multiracial ambit, that would be clear. And that would help him to galvanize support and gallop forward. But if it is merely to say, I'm the one, I'm coming in, because Tun had already said this, or the fabric has been laid out this way, that is not sufficient. In view of the fact that much lamentation is already out there in the field to say that we have not done enough in the past 1.5 years. That, I think, must be linked with the issues which I've just put forward. And I'm sure Dato' Sri Anwar is aware of this and make good some of the elements that are at his disposal.
Now, as someone who's been in politics, as you say, Tan Sri, for more than 45 years, I'm sure you understand the ins and outs of these political games. And if Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim does come into power and become the next prime minister, who do you think would be his deputy? Is it likely that we would see Azmin or perhaps someone from Bersatu?
It's not an easy question to answer that one. But I think going via the tree of logic, it should not be from the same Pakatan lineup. It should be from another one. More specifically, it could be Bersatu, and it could be even one of the other parties, Amanah or DAP, for example. But many people forget that the unseen writing under the Constitution, under Article 43 and 38, we should respect those articles because Yang di-Pertuan Agong has a role. And contrary to general view, the Yang di-Pertuan Agong may not be simply a person who has to accept every word that is given to him on a good Wednesday morning. Under 43, he must just say, I would like to have a look at it on a deeper process. Now, that could become a problem. Not many think about this. But having studied and got my duit kopi and duit makan through constitutional law, I would like to say that the Agong may one day utilize that power.
Mm.
And it is not going to be that easy for someone to simply, I am the one. And the Agong may say, wait, like what the Cantonese say, Tan Cheng Kan. So it's going to be quite a difficulty at that point. But I hope nobody uses that ambit.
But speaking of roles, Tan Sri,
yeah.
Just to maybe illustrate this a little bit clearer for us, what kind of a role do you play now in Bersatu?
That's a very nice question. I can say I don't have any role.
Why not?
Let's put it this way. Having served that long, I no longer have this apprehension, I shouldn't say this or I shouldn't say that. Whilst I do not cavort to become this and that, I would like to say that I just like to say Bersatu and PH should also listen to friends who are honest in their views for the future. So I would like to play that role in a little way and go about doing my culture and heritage work with the government and with the non-governmental organizations. At some point, we would like to come back and say, hey, we have not followed this law. Why don't we do it? And why should you, Bersatu, simply have one system of doing things? Why don't we consider the others? In this proper thing, I would like to pinpoint the fact that education is of utmost importance. And the more we Malaysians focus on education, the better it is towards creating the one Malaysia that we talk about so long. I'd love to go into that kind of discussion and work building towards the future of our country.
But it's interesting that you bring up the sort of One Malaysia sentiment, if not the actual implementation of the idea that we saw under Barisan Nasional. Because Tan Sri, there are some quarters who would consider you a hardliner. Maybe give us some insight into that. You know, what is your role in Bersatu in terms of are you helping to strengthen numbers or, you know, how do you perhaps contribute even to the non-Malay vote maybe?
My statement recently, for example, on Zakir Naik, that is illustrative enough, I think, what kind of role I play. Most would just steer away and not say anything, or simply echo what the majority are saying. I'm saying if a fugitive is being termed as such internationally, and if six countries have already rejected a person, and if that person practices hate speeches and extrapolates the Quranic sanction with the hadith towards political game, I would be very fast to say, don't do that here. Why don't you go back and face what is in store for you in Bombay? That's all I'm saying.
Mm.
And how did you get your PR? Being a lawyer, I would like to know. Is it because you have stayed here for some years? Or is it because you have passed the Bahasa test? Or is it because of what? Nobody knows. We have to tell what is there. So that is the kind of position I just would like to play. And many people would not like that. It's okay. And normally, a guy like me saying this and that, to say spade is a spade, may not stay long enough. That is up to the future to be seen.
So you don't think it's likely that you'll be put to a seat perhaps in GE15?
I don't think so. I don't imagine myself to go in again. I would like to stay where I am to do heritage culture work and remind my colleagues in power, don't overdo things. I think that is more proper at my stage, and not to go for another one, despite the fact that Tun has already exemplified that age is no matter in politics or in government. In my case, I think I would like to put my tongue in cheek for a while in respect of that.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Tan Sri.
Thank you so much, Ivy. This has been a great morning, and terima kasih.
Terima kasih indeed. I've been speaking with Tan Sri Dr. Rais Yatim, State Chairman for Bersatu Negeri Sembilan and Supreme Council Member with Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.